This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
It is a fact that most people today believe in the concept of going to heaven. Many believe that judgment occurs at death and that as soon as our breath stops, we will be before our Maker being judged as to our future fate, which is heaven or hell. Such concepts are fostered by traditions and legends, by poets and authors, and in some cases, even by misunderstood parables and stories from God's Word, such as Lazarus and the rich man, and Enoch and Elijah being taken bodily into heaven. But should we use traditions and legends and misunderstood parables to establish our beliefs about life after death? Or is there a more assured way of arriving at the truth of what God has in store for us after death? Well, stay with us, friends, on today's Armor of God as we seek to explore these questions about heaven and the afterlife and whether or not Elijah is in heaven.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hello and welcome to our program, The Armor of God. It is indeed a pleasure to have you with us today. We're going to have about 25 to 30 minutes together. During the course of our presentation, we hope today to invite you to study the Word of God about a subject which you've heard a lot about but probably don't understand, at least the way we're going to present it to you. Today I'm privileged to have my good friend Mr. Van Stinson with me, who you've seen many a times on The Armor of God, and he's going to be dealing with some of the more critical objections pertaining to the subject of whether or not someone is in heaven. So we'll get to that in just a minute, Vance. But to begin now, I'd like to challenge you by asking you this. Are you, when you die, going to go to heaven? That's a pretty simple question. Most people, I believe, the audience that I'm speaking to are going to say, well, you know, I hope so. In other words, you have hopes for going to heaven. Or if you have a deceased loved one, I think without equivocation or quantifying it in any way, that you would say, if they were a good person, you would say, well, I do believe that they are in heaven. That just seems to be the natural response. I do want you to know that I've preached several funerals, and it is not uncommon at all for during the funeral for me to be presenting this subject that needs to be presented, and I've worried as to whether or not the audience that was listening would be in agreement with what I or Vance might be putting forth through our service. Because we do, when we speak to the destiny of an individual who has been a good person or a, quote-unquote, sinful person, we do speak to the truth as to what the Bible says about where they are. So we're going to be talking today. The title of the program is Elijah, is Elijah in heaven? And if he isn't, where is he? And this, of course, involves all of us in the subject and the discussion of heaven. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? And is more importantly, let me ask you this, and Vance, it's a key question, are people in heaven right now? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God the Father, Jesus Christ, the heavenly host, the angels are in heaven above, but I'm not so sure anybody else is up there, and I think I can prove it right out of this book. I'm going to spend some time doing that, but as we begin, I would like to invite you, as you may disagree with me as I begin, I'd like to challenge you to prove me right or wrong. And if you want to write to us, you're sure welcome to do that. But let me encourage you to request the literature and also the tape that we have available today. We have a tape which is entitled High Hopes for Heaven. This is a sermon that I've given on this subject. It's rather thorough and is going to go into a more documented presentation than I've had time or will have time for today. So the tape is High Hopes for Heaven. And for those of you who prefer to read rather than listen, let me invite you to request Is Elijah in Heaven? A pamphlet that also covers the subject that we are discussing today. Is Elijah in Heaven? Good question. To request this material, be sure to call our toll-free number, which is 888-578-8791, or check on our website at www.cgi.org. And by the way, if you'd like to catch this television program, maybe you have to step out today and miss part of it. We hope you don't. But if you have to, you can click back on our website and catch the television program and also some of the other information that pertains to the Church of God International. Now let's come back to the subject of, is Elijah in heaven or is he somewhere else? To begin this study, it is important and critical to start with 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We're going to be talking about where in fact Elijah is. Now it seems to tell us here in verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven, or into heaven. Well, there it is, into heaven. The word from the Hebrew is translated heaven, by a whirlwind. I have no cause to challenge whirlwind here, that Elijah went with Elisha, his companion, from Gilgal. I'm going to stop myself right here, and we're going to begin taking a look as we course along here with what this word heaven means. The word heaven was translated from a Hebrew word shamay, which really means the sky. Now let me come back just a moment and read it with that language. See what you think. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into the sky by a whirlwind. Well, that sounds foreign to many of us, but really that's the way it should be translated, because the Hebrew translation into heaven is a little bit vague because there is more than one heaven. There are actually three. We'll be talking about that for just a moment. I'm going to come back to this, and I'm going to ask Vance to comment on what this word shamay means and how it's translated in other places. But I would like to ask you to consider this in John chapter 11, if I might interject another personality. And again, I ask you to consider the reality of what happens to an individual when he dies. Does he go to heaven or not? Now, John chapter 3, verse 13, has a compelling verse. I don't want to make too much out of this, but I do want to make enough out of it to make my point and to make the point that Jesus Christ was making to Nicodemus. Here's his comment. I have it well marked in my Bible, and I hope you do. And for those of you who haven't looked into this, I want you to study it. I want you to consider what it says. It's very simple. John chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus Christ, in an exchange with Nicodemus, makes this comment. He says, No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Do I need to read that again? Now, Jesus is either telling the truth, he's misleading us, or he's lying. Now, which is it? No man has ascended up to heaven, it says. Well, wait a minute. Now, if no man has ascended up to heaven, that would have to include Elisha. That would have to include Daniel. That would have to include Elisha. That would have to include David. That would even have to include later on all of the disciples that would die. But certainly up to this point, no man, he says, has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. That is a problematic verse for us to consider if you think that when you die, you go to heaven. And I do understand the compassionate urgency to consider whether or not individuals that we love are in heaven. We want to believe that they are, but frankly, I find more comfort in knowing exactly where they are without question, without any kind of uncertainty. Now, quickly, I want us to consider this example. In John chapter 11, another individual, not Elijah, but it makes us ask a few questions. This is Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, the close, close friend of Jesus Christ. And those of you who are familiar with Scripture will know that he died. He died a physical death. It says here in John chapter 11, you could read through the first 13 verses or so, but you will notice that he died, and he was dead for not 10 minutes, not 5 minutes, 4 days that he was dead. Now, come back and understand this. If Lazarus were dead for 4 days, when he died, day one, where's he supposed to be? He's supposed to be in heaven. Well, people will say, well, God has the power to take somebody out of heaven and put him back on earth. Well, you know, that's a nice statement. I don't see any biblical precedent for that. And I got to thinking about this. Boy, that's really unfair to Lazarus, isn't it? A man who died. And it goes on to say here some of the disciples were saying that he thought that it was better for him to be asleep because his battle was over. Wouldn't it be a little bit unfair of God to take a spirit being who is in heaven, bring him back to earth, put him inside a body that's 4 days old, dead, and even, as it says here a little bit later on, stinking? And then he comes out of the tomb. He's still all bandaged up. My point is that he was not in heaven. His body was still in the tomb. His body was still inside all of his bandages, and his body had deteriorated for 4 days. But of course, Jesus Christ performed a remarkable miracle to bring him back and restore him physically and also give him back the very life that he had enjoyed for a good number of years. We want to come back then to this example. Just something for you to think about. When Lazarus died, where did he go? Well, I know where he went. He went into that tomb. That's what he came out of. He didn't come out of heaven, did he? He wasn't resurrected and came out of heaven. He came out of an earthly tomb, an earthly grave. You know, Vance, we need to spend a little bit of time talking about this matter of, you know, what heaven means, because I think it is confusing to people. I think that they think that there's only one heaven, and that's where God dwells. That's where the heavenly hosts are. That's where all the angels dwell. And there is a great deal of truth to that, no question about that. But what most people don't understand, when we're talking about a man like Elijah here and what happened to him, that he was taken up into, quote, unquote, heaven. But where is heaven? I think if we can understand that, that is a little bit of a key to lead us to see that when people die, they don't go to a place which is really quite fictional.
Well, naturally, when we hear the word heaven, we think in terms of celestial glory. We think of what we have heard as children about our grandparents perhaps being in heaven or others being in heaven. That's where the saints are, not only the angels and God and Jesus Christ, but also the saints themselves. The Christians who have gone before are all supposedly in heaven. But when the Bible, as you did mention this earlier, the Hebrew word is shamay, and this word does not simply mean heaven, the place of God's throne. Actually, it could be just as well rendered the sky. And that scripture that tells us that Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind could just as well say, and be properly rendered, he went up into the sky. Now, you know, there are a lot of interesting things about that text, one of which is the fact that we're told that Elijah was taken up into the sky. We're not told that he was not put down someplace. We're not told he stayed in the sky. We're not told that he went beyond the atmosphere or any place else. We're just simply told he was taken out of sight, and that's it. Now, naturally, when somebody goes up into the sky by way of an airplane in our time, we expect that he will come down someplace. And certainly, we can make, the Bible just doesn't say, but you can make that case for the sky, the heaven that Elijah went to. Now, in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11, this Hebrew term is used, shamay. And notice how it is used here. It says, and the windows of heaven were opened. This is talking about a rainstorm. What does that mean, the windows of heaven? Does that mean the windows of God's throne were opened? No, it means simply the windows of heaven, the place where the clouds gather, the place where the birds fly. That's the word shamay. That's the word heaven or sky. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 2, we read again of the windows of heaven. It says they were stopped. In other words, it stopped raining. And again, we know where rain comes from. It's in this atmosphere. It doesn't come from outer space. It doesn't come from the third heaven, from God's throne. It comes simply from the sky, where the clouds are. In Genesis 11 and verse 4, it speaks of the Tower of Babel, and these people intended to build it so that its top may reach unto heaven. It's the same word once again. In other words, they wanted a very high tower extending a great distance up into the air and up into the sky. And speaking of that, you know, the word can refer to the air itself, the word shamay. And it is used that way in Genesis chapter 1 in verses 26 and 28, which speaks of the fowl of the air, the fowl of heaven, the fowl of the sky. This is the place where the birds fly, in other words. Again, in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 20, we read about the winged fowl that flies in the air. The same word, shamay, is once again used. Also in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 19, which speaks of the way of an eagle in the air. So here we see many examples of how the word that is translated heaven often in some of the translations, including many places in the King James Version, how this simply means the sky. And sometimes it means the sky where the clouds are, where the birds fly. Sometimes it refers to the sky where the heavenly bodies are, the sun, the moon, the stars, and so forth. We call that space or outer space. And sometimes it does refer to the heaven of God's throne. But you know, the Bible does not say that Elijah went to the heaven of God's throne. It's just not there. It just simply says he was taken up into the sky, and that's all we're told. Mm-hmm. It does not say that he didn't come back down to the earth. It just simply doesn't say. It is an assumption, therefore, to say that Elijah went to the heaven of God's throne and is alive there today.
Right. You know, Vance, as we consider this, I think it's important to come back and answer the question whether or not Elisha, his companion, saw Elijah taken into heaven. And to do that, I'm going to bring you right back to 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to begin to pick up a little bit of the story flow here, because much of what Vance has alluded to is revealed right here. It is important as we read through here that you begin to understand what it is that was taking place. And also, as I read through these verses, I see that there were certain individuals who had knowledge that reveals what they thought about whether or not Elijah was going to go to heaven. Because notice some of the language here as we read along. So follow with me. We see then that Elijah in verse 2 said unto Elisha, he said, "Now wait here, I pray to you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said to him, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And of course, I'm really moved, Vance, by that close loyalty and companionship here. You need to know that there were three schools of the prophets. Two of them are mentioned right here in the following verses. And I do notice as I read through this that the sons of the prophets knew what was going to happen to Elijah. And it's interesting as we read just a little bit later on in this very same chapter, if they thought, let me ask you a question, if they thought that he was going to go to heaven and dwell with God, why did they look for him? Because they do look for him. I'll read along quickly then. And I want you to see that these sons of the prophets had what I call inside information. And the sons of the prophets in verse 3 that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and they look what they said to him. The sons of the prophets said, "Elisha, don't you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Hold you your peace." I brought along a translation here of an old Bible that I have, and I wanted to read to you just a moment about it, because there's something here that's rather fascinating and catches your interest, something you to think about, because some of the older translations haven't given way to the modern interpretations of going to heaven. In one of my older Bibles, I have this note here I wanted to share with you. See what you think about this. Here's a translation by the Smith and Goodspeed translation of the Scripture. Quote, "Do you not know that today the Lord is about to take away your master from being your leader," having nothing to do with going to heaven? Let's skip along a little bit quicker now. It says here in verse 7, "The 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. They stood to view afar off, because Elijah and Elisha went together, as Elijah was going to be taken up into," quote unquote, "the sky," or to heaven. Verse 9, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for you.' And then Elisha asked for a double portion of the Holy Spirit." A lot of wisdom in asking for that as well. Now, here's the incident in verse 11. "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire," grant you that it is supernatural, no question about it, "and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the sky." It's translated heaven, but it's the same word, shamay, that Vance was reading a little bit earlier to you, that we've already discussed. He was taken up into the sky, just as if you and I were to be taken outside, much like it was in Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, when the disciples saw Christ surrounded by clouds ascending into the heavens, ascending into the sky. You know, you can only watch a person so long and then they're gone. Well, that's exactly what was going on here. My question, though, is this. Is if the sons of the prophets, who seem to have had inside information, really thought that he was going to be with God, whereby he would never be on the earth, then why do we find here in verse 16 that the sons of the prophets set out to find him? You know, you don't look for somebody unless you think they're findable, unless you think they are somewhere. Here in verse 16, "They said to him, 'Behold now,'" this is the sons of the prophets talking to Elisha, "it said, 'Behold now, there be with your servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray you, and seek your master.'" Well, again, I raise the question, why would you look for him if he's in heaven, especially having inside information? Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain. That's interesting to me. Why would they even suspect that? If he were going to heaven, why would they suspect that he were some another danger or endangered or left on a mountainside? Again, repeating in verse 17, and when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, well, go ahead and do it. So therefore, they sent, 50 men. They sought 3 days. They searched for him for 3 days, and they did not find him. So what is it that Elisha saw? Well, Elisha saw his leader, his mentor, taken up in a whirlwind, taken up to where he could no longer see him, and he disappeared. What happened to Elijah? What happened to Elijah is the same thing that happened to all the great patriarchs, all the righteous men of the Old Testament, all the righteous men and women that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Do you know what that chapter tells us happened to these individuals? Let me take just a moment and read it to you. Hebrews chapter 11, this is the chapter that deals with the faithful, those who have been obedient. Doesn't mention everyone, but it mentions enough to convince us as to what their fate was at death. By the way, it is appointed unto all men once to die, and after that, what? The judgment. So just keep that in your thinking as we go through this. Hebrews chapter 11, we find mentioned in verse 4 and through the verses here, the early verses of this chapter. We find Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham mentioned, and then Sarah in verse 11. And then we find in verse 13, notice, these all died in faith. I think you would agree with me that Elijah died in faith as well. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Much like you and I do today, we see these promises afar off. Well, Vance, I don't know if we have time to go through this, some of the objections. I want to turn over here to Acts chapter 2, and I want us to take a look at what is said about the great King David, because if anybody's in heaven, would you agree with me on that? If anybody is in heaven, it would be King David, because he was a righteous man and unique among those who were trying to be obedient. Although he was sinful, he made his mistakes, but the Bible does say he was a man after God's own heart. Now, really, let me remind you of the verse that we read earlier. And you deal with this as I have had to deal with it in my theology. And by the way, we don't need to argue about this, because what's important is that we all achieve God's kingdom. What we're trying to do today is offer a little bit of instruction to cause you to study the Word of God, so that if people talk about their loved one being in heaven, well, I understand why they're doing it, but are they really there? Notice what it says here in verse 29, speaking about David. Peter says, you either believe this or you don't. You either reject this or accept it. He says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us this day. Well, you might say, well, that doesn't say he's not in heaven. Oh, wait a minute now. Verse 34, what are you going to do with this? For David is not ascended into the heavens. Let me repeat that. Either Peter is telling the truth, either Peter knew what he was talking about, either Peter knew because of his years of instruction with Jesus Christ, either Peter knew because he knew the truth about men like Elijah and Elisha, or he is lying. Which is it? Now, verse 34 says, for David is not ascended into the heavens. Almost the end of the story. He's not ascended into heavens, because he said to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you on my right hand. So basically what we learn from this brief exchange here is that David was, he died and he was buried. And he was with his people in that day, that time. There was a sepulcher, there was a grave, and he was not in heaven. Now the reason why this is important to all of us today, those of you who are viewing the program, is because you do want to eventually be in the kingdom of God. I think all of us have an inherent desire when we look at the Word of God, Vance, to say, well, listen, you know, I need to obey God's laws. I don't want to end up in, quote-unquote, hell. That's a topic for another time, another program. But I do want you to know that when an individual dies, they go to the state of sleep, and that's what the Bible talks about. If you wanted to check that out more thoroughly, you could check out 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I think 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 goes into it very, very much in detail. So for those of you listening today, I hope we challenge you to consider what happens at death. Do you go to hell? Do you go to heaven? Or do you go someplace? You go to the grave. I want to challenge you to write for the literature, to receive the tape that we've offered to you today. It's our privilege to enter into your home, to spend some time with you, to challenge you to look at Scripture and to put on the whole armor of God. I hope you'll stay with us. Listen to my colleague as he refers to the offer that we have today. Come back next week with another program of the armor of God.
Well, today's program has been a real shocker for many of you, I'm sure, and very thought-provoking to say the least, because it perhaps challenged the long-cherished belief that many of you have about souls going to heaven. The fact is, in the short amount of time that Vance and Charles had in today's program, they illustrated from God's Word that no one has ascended into heaven. Now, I know that comes as a shocker, but they clearly illustrated that not only has Enoch or Elijah not ascended into heaven, but they quoted the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 and verse 13, wherein the Lord said that no one has ascended into heaven. I'm sure you'll agree with me that the Lord is the final authority on all scriptural matters, and he said that the scripture cannot be broken. And even later on the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter stood up and preached and said that David had not ascended into heaven. Clearly, the biblical principle and teaching is that the kingdom of God is going to be established here upon planet Earth at the return of Jesus Christ. And the reward of the saints is to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Nowhere does the Bible make the promise of anyone ever going to heaven. It's simply not there. Charles challenged you to prove him wrong, and so do I right now challenge you to prove me wrong in that regard. Friends, we have some literature that will help you to better understand the concept of what the reward of the saved really is. Is it heaven or is it hell? We'd like to send them to you gratis, free of charge, with no follow-up, no obligation on your part, if you'll simply dial right now, area code 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. And be sure and check us out on the web at www.cgi.org. There's a lot of information there on a lot of subjects about the truth that we'd like to share with you. And so, friends, as we close today's edition of The Armor of God, I'd just like to remind you once again to put on the whole armor of God, including the truths of God's Word, so that you might be able to stand in the evil day when it comes your way. We'll see you next week right here on this program.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.